Today's featured guest, Louis Navalier from Navalier Associates. Welcome back, Louis Navalier.
It's good to be here.
You know, we were talking before the show about the fact that so many major outlets have called the end of this bull market. It's almost the most hated equities market, certainly in the last 50 years or so. Maybe you can give us an overview of what's led you to this conclusion and what's driving this market higher.
Well, first of all, we have the best earnings environment I'll probably see in my lifetime. The first quarter earnings in the S&P were up 24%. The second quarter earnings are coming out now, are forecast to be up over 20. The reason they decelerated when the economy actually accelerated is the dollar strong now. So half the S&P sales are outside of America. So some companies have a currency headwind now, something like a John Deere, 3M, things like that. What's also going on is because the market's not going up as much as earnings, price-earnings ratios are being compressed. And companies are taking advantage of that and buying the stock back at the fastest pace ever recorded. That didn't get reported on CNBC for some reason. And, you know, CNBC's been very negative. And they, of their seven major markets, they lost, they fell second in six of their seven major market time slots. So they're now becoming more optimistic because they figured out if you're a poop head all the time, no one turns on the station. So it's a very mechanical rally. Earnings are working. It's time to be happy, grow and prosper. The tariffs are just trade negotiations. They're not impacting the economy. But they might impact the Fed. The Fed may use that as an excuse not to raise rates much. I expect one more Fed rate hike this year, but the Fed that we have now is very dovish.
I mean, if you look at the Fed funds futures at the St. Louis Fed, I mean, we're looking for a September hike. It's pretty much a sure bet, but they're still better than even odds of a December hike. You think they'll probably balk on that decision?
Yeah, half the guys on the Fed are doves. People like Charles Evans, Bullard of the St. Louis Fed, Neil Kashari, who's the Minneapolis Fed guy. The other thing is, as we raise rates, the rest of the world didn't, and that's why the currency is so strong. And finally, this guy, Jerome Powell, the new head of the Fed, he was handpicked by Treasury Secretary Mnuchin to be more market-friendly, and he's doing a good job. The Fed finally hit their inflation objective for the first time since 2011, when they want 2% inflation, but they don't want it to overheat the economy. But see, a surging dollar causes commodity prices to drop. So what's happened is...
You mentioned tariffs, taxes imposed on imports and exports around the world. Many of the nations involved are major trade partners. They are not pleased at all. But on the other hand, we're hearing that this is simply Washington's way of leveling the playing field after decades of unfair protectionist policies. What's your stance?
Well, I know Larry Kudlow. In fact, I was with him at a money show in early this year in the Orlando area. And, of course, I can't do money shows with him now because he's the national economic advisor. But I think he put it into perspective. The tariffs are there just to get fair trade. So if we had fair trade with Canada, we would not have that spat. For some reason, Canadian milk farmers aren't as efficient as U.S. farmers. So, you know, I think we should have told the Canadians, like, look, we'll send you to Wisconsin. We'll teach you how to be more efficient with your cows, and so we don't have to do these tariffs. But that's not what Canada wanted to do, so we had to impose more tariffs. When we export a car to Europe, they put a 10% tariff on it. When we export an SUV, they put a 25% tariff on it. When we import one of their cars, we have a 2.5% tariff. So those tariffs are 4 to 10 times higher than what we charge. So the goal of the tariffs is to basically get free trade everywhere and eliminate all tariffs. And right now the big fight is with China, because for every export dollar we export to them, we import $3.87. China keeps hitting a record trade deficit with us almost every single month. Obviously, it's not impacting the economy at all. Yeah, but it could eventually. The bears, the stores, the shelves at a Best Buy, Walmart would be empty if we start to have problems with China. But I'm sure we'll resolve that diplomatically. President Trump's friends with President Xi, and I'm sure cooler heads will prevail. You know, the government's going to get some revenue in the meantime. So nothing against these tariffs.
What else do you see as potential hurdles that U.S. equities have to overcome on a forward basis?
Well, we have to overcome what I call seasonality. I personally don't like August. New York's on vacation. So is Europe. We can have air pockets and problems. There can be some wild trading swings, but most of those should be viewed as good buying opportunities. We're telling our most conservative clients to be fully invested by mid-September. We tend to do well in quarter and window dressing. October is actually a pretty strong month for the market in the last 20 years. A lot of people remember October 87, but that was, again, 30 years ago. We'll have another good earnings season. Earnings are going to reaccelerate. And then everybody's happy around Thanksgiving. The best time to buy is the second week in November, because we always rally around Thanksgiving. We're in this huge small cap rally right now, and it's very, very impressive because last year a lot of money was going into international, emerging markets, multinational, because of a weaker dollar. Now with a strong dollar, everybody wants to be more domestic, more energy related. And so that money's really moving down the cap ladder, and a lot of this stuff is just melting up.
Moving on to the Navalier Growth, we have the hold to buy list. These are upgrades, 73 upgrades at the most recent report. And I'd like to toss a few of these names and tickers to you and see if you are interested in commenting. First up, SunTrust Banks. Financial companies have been doing well. Ticker STI.
I pass on banks because I'm the next banking analyst.
Lockheed Martin Corporation, ticker LMT, bumped up from a C to a B. This is, of course, in the aeronautics space and perhaps benefiting from the threat of military expansion.
Yeah, and also great dividend growth. No, Lockheed's a solid stock.
Moving on to CSX Corporation, ticker CSX.
It's okay. It's a buy right now, but I prefer the trucking firms, Old Dominion, Knight.
Analog devices, ADI, B to a B.
It's okay. It's not as strong as I want it to be, fundamentally. I mean, my largest holding is NVIDIA, NVDA. That's the artificial intelligence chip company, the graphics chip company. They have beaten for 11 quarters in a row. It's pretty amazing what they've done, but we think they're a great buy right now. Another big holding of mine is Align Technology, ALGN. They make the Invisalign system to straighten your teeth. Apparently, people internationally really like straight teeth, so their sales are booming. We have a lot of very, very good energy stocks. A lot of them are in Latin America because of the Venezuelan issue. My favorite there is the EC. It's the Colombian oil company. We also like refining right now because the crack spreads are pretty wide. Our favorite refining pick would be Valero.
I mean, even this studio workstation right here has two GPUs, a couple of their more recent Zotac GPUs, and this is really big in mining, which took a hit after a big year in 2017, but their GPU division, from my perspective, is big, and not just for mining, but for research, as you pointed out. Plus, I've never seen a company with beta and off-the-chart alpha like NVIDIA. When you put it on the efficient curve there, the efficient frontier, it can make any portfolio look like it has a great expected return on it. So, did forget to mention the precious metals. You know, as long as U.S. equities are hot, can you find anything positive to say? Maybe the shares might perk up?
I think gold's been hurt by the surge of Bitcoin and all these cryptocurrencies, but I think a lot of people are more comfortable with gold. So I think gold will be fine long term. You just need to have people being secure. You know, the zero interest rates around the world help a lot too. I think gold still deserves an allocation. It's just we have to wait for the mushroom cloud or something to appear. So I think all this talk again with Iran is good, and you know, Israel just shot down a Syrian jet today. So.
I sometimes wonder, crypto's competing with gold, if that really isn't a non sequitur, because cryptos seem to be more of an alpha play or a speculative play, and even tying in with the big success we've seen in the NASDAQ, at least from my perspective, like 1995, 96, internet.com frenzy underway, more so last year, obviously, than this year. But as for a direct competitor as a safe haven, wouldn't you at least concede that there are an awful lot of security issues and lack of understanding by the mainstream public about crypto and cryptography to really give Bitcoin that safe haven play for most people?
Yeah, but I know a lot of people from different countries. So, you know, people in Venezuela have been forced to use cryptocurrencies because their currency is worthless. Same with Zimbabwe. You know, there's more cell phones than bank accounts. So that's where it took off there. I'm from Berkeley, California originally, and I know some people in the marijuana business, and they've always done it. I think the biggest threat to the cryptos are the hacking. So we got to watch North Korea. They've always been a big counterfeiter of our currency, and now they have 7,000 full-time hackers. So they seem to be more obsessed with hacking the South Korean exchanges. I'd hate to see them.
From my perspective, the bigger concern, and maybe this is a topic for a different show, is the quantum computing, the rise and really ascension of quantum computing. Qubits, as opposed to our computing that we're working with right now, really allows for such an exponential ability to crack cryptography. For instance, if I had access to a quantum computer, you know, it'd set you back about $5 to $10 million. But if I had access to one, which you really do, by the way, through IBM, and knew how to program qubits, I would crack open Satoshi Nakamoto's wallet that has nearly 1 million Bitcoin in it. It wouldn't take too long with a quantum computer if you were a genius programmer. The quantum computer could really upset the work that's underway right now in the crypto arena.
Well, it may be underway.
And I also liked your comment on Venezuela. I don't know why this doesn't get more press, but I just read an article last evening that Maduro is now anticipating 1,000,000% inflation.
I'm in South Florida. We have a lot of Venezuelans here. They moved to Weston and Doral. In fact, that Trump club is dominated all around by Venezuelans as a Venezuelan restaurant. But the whole country is set up to extort, okay? So you join the military, you extort money, and then you move to Florida, apparently. It's kind of an interesting society, but the drug trade is definitely going to Venezuela now. So as Colombia got better and better, the drug trade went to Colombia. It's really horrific what's happened. You know, now they can't feed their soldiers. You know, I actually had a caddy when I was playing golf in Alabama. I had to go back. He just finished his college degree, and he was obviously playing college golf, and he's going to go back, but, you know, he knows he's not going to come back for a while. We were interesting times, but something's going to happen because we've been having a lot of meetings down there, and that could be the next grenade.
You're probably familiar with Tim Draper, Silicon Valley billionaire and Bitcoin enthusiast. He was on the show, mirrored so much of your thoughts. He had a close family friend from that region in South America who had three times watched his family fortune evaporate, whether it be gold stolen from vaults or stocks eliminated or mostly the currency just completely collapsing or being devalued. That really turned him on to Bitcoin. He moved his entire family fortune out of the region, out of the country, to, as you mentioned, and that just struck a chord with Tim Draper, who then, as we all know now, invested heavily in Bitcoin at $500. Is something, I guess, that can maybe happen anywhere?
Yeah, I mean, chaos reigns. I mean, when you go around the world, the reserve currency is definitely the dollar, but these cryptos can be an alternative. So they have some stumbling blocks. The IMF's not a big fan of them, although they did get the Malta exchange. I have friends in Malta, so they're watching that pretty carefully. But the other thing that's happened is, you know, the Fed wants nothing to do with them. Jerome Powell says, I don't want to regulate it. Now, our Treasury has declared it an asset.
Officially, you are right. Regulators are mostly taking on a hands-off approach. There's a lot of dissension among the ranks. Is it an asset? Is it a currency? They really don't know. They can't decide. But, you know, there are some holdouts in the Fed. I heard someone from the St. Louis say, wait a minute, we need to take a closer look at this. This looks and smells an awful lot like a currency in direct competition with the U.S. dollar. And I personally agree with that viewpoint and believe that eventually, we may be talking 10 years from now, will become a de facto reserve currency of its own. Can you tell folks a little bit more about the services you provide?
Sure. Well, there's two things we do. We have a newsletter business. I would encourage everybody to go to NavalierGrowth.com, which is the newsletter site. We have our free stock rating there. Sign up for it. We also have a management company, Navalier.com. We keep those businesses separate, but, you know, we do manage accounts and mutual funds, and we have a big bond business. We do a lot of things. We're happy to help people, but all our sites have free stock graders, free dividend graders, and so you might want to go see how your stocks rank on our system and get to know us. We also have free commentary on Navalier.com.
All right, Louis Navalier, we want to thank you for your time, as always.
Same to you. Take care. We'll
The gold and silver mining sector is red hot. Every investment portfolio needs precious metal shares. GoldSeek.com's top stock analysts have done it again, identifying the next solid gold nugget opportunity, Brazil Resources. Based in the eighth largest economy with a mining-friendly reputation, almost 10 million ounces of gold reserves, industry insiders are accumulating shares of Brazil Resources. The notable management team includes Chairman Amir Adnani, a rising star in the mining industry with a reputation for moving projects rapidly into production. Fortune magazine lists Chairman Adnani in the prestigious list of 40 under 40 ones to watch. Plus, shareholders benefit from the insights and backing of enigmatic Brazilian billionaire Mario Garnero, CEO of Brazil Invest Group, the nation's foremost merchant and investment bank, and founding director. Their São Jorge project is 100% owned with paved highway access, a nearby workforce, and a hydroelectric power source near the major gold deposits. Their next top project includes three deposits identified by major gold producers, plus their RIA project, which is a joint venture with Areva, benefits from a $10 million treasure map in the hottest address for uranium production in Canada. But the story gets even more exciting with their Whistler project, offering geographic diversification in South Central Alaska. To find out more about this unique opportunity, please direct your web browsers to BrazilResources.com. At Yahoo Finance, ticker symbol BRI.V. Remember to ride the exciting gold stock run of 2016 and beyond. Your portfolio will thank you for adding shares of Brazil Resources.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.